B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning. Welcome to the Fanatic family.
They want him to shoot it.
And he does. Ben Simmons shoots the three. The fans want it. They're asking for it. And Ben Simmons is giving it to him. Joel Embiid comes on the court and gives him a big hug. That has got to feel good. Let's take a look at it again, shall we? Okay. Fans are on their feet. Let me get what they want.
If I'm Ben, I'm saying, what's all the fuss about? This is what I do now. Leave me open. I'm going to make you pay.
Some people like freaking just like me. Some people think freaking ain't right. Some people like freaking outside. Some people like freaking in the club. Some people like freaking on the best way.
Good morning and welcome in, everybody. We now live in a world where Ben Simmons makes threes. I just want to let you know that. That's the world we live in now.
The world I've always wanted to live in, Mark.
It started to spin in the other way on its axis. Started to revolve around the sun in the other direction. It said, to hell with it, I'm making a left. That's what it said. I don't know what direction it actually goes, but whatever.
You're on a roll. Just keep going.
That's all right. We live in a world where Ben Simmons is a three-point threat, ladies and gentlemen. And I don't care that it was the Guangzhou long lines. I don't care. I don't care even a little bit, Bob. You know what I care about? That Ben Simmons had the cojones to hit that three, to take the three. You saw him ramping up to the moment last night. You saw him try a little baseline fadeaway. I thought of you immediately, Bob Cooney.
There was no reaction in the arena when he shot that. I was shocked.
Oh, the baseline jumper?
Yeah. It was just quiet as... It was like, oh, yeah, whatever. I thought people would be like, oh, hooray!
Yeah, I tweeted it out, and someone was like, you did that last year. And I'm like, not very often. Yeah. And they tried... It wasn't even a baby hook, because a hook implies like some kind of side shot action with one arm. This was like one arm facing the basket, squared up, and like, meh, just kind of lofted it at the rim. And then, at the end of the first quarter... He started dribbling in and around. Or excuse me, the end of the second quarter, started dribbling around a little bit. And then you see, oh my God, he wants the ball out on the wing. He wants to shoot this thing. Puts it on the floor a couple of times, pops the shot. Gerano hits a three-point shot right in Wang Yi's eye. I believe that's who was guarding him at the time, Wang Yi. And he stuck it in his eye. And Ben Simmons made the place erupt at the Wells Fargo. Made everyone at the Wells Fargo Center erupt last night. That was pure poetry last night watching that game. Good stuff to see and all that. And I even tweeted out during the game, half kidding. I said, hey, you know what? What gave you more joy, beating the Jets or Ben Simmons hitting a three? Overwhelming majority, 85% right there, saying Ben Simmons hitting that three-point shot.
Hitting a three was amazing.
I don't think people are lying to themselves when they embrace the joy that they felt when they saw Ben Simmons rise up and hit that three-pointer.
You know what? Because I'm sitting here, because I had to go, and my son had practice yesterday. Mm. So I went to PJ's and was sitting down, having a couple wings, just chilling, hanging out a little bit.
Delicious.
While I'm waiting on my son's practice to finish.
What flavor wings, though?
I went with the Old Bay.
Ooh.
Wow.
Now, do you get that? Are they naked or breaded?
I like the naked.
That's what I thought. I like the naked too, Jay. I'm like,
So yeah,
I'm getting Mark's cousin likes the naked too.
Oh yeah. By the way, that's why we came
in the closet free. You know?
There's one line I left out of that, but go ahead, Trey. Yeah.
So I'm there. So I had to go pick him up from practice. I'm like, dang, I got to go pick you up from practice. I still waiting on Ben to shoot this three. So I turned it on the radio, and as I was getting home, that's when he shot the three. I was like, oh my God, I missed it. I ran in the house. Turn on TV as quick as I could. And there it is.
Well, that's a question I want to ask today.
Ben Simmons stepping in, swishing the three.
I believe, Trey, he put him on the table.
Put him on the table. And then act like, what?
That's what I do.
He turned around with the stone face. What?
He's like, Joel, get off of me. This is my new norm.
This is what I am. In his mind, I made it! For
a guy that will have a good dunk and whatever, and then flex and all that stuff, and you know he'll talk a little jive, right? A guy hits his first three of his professional career. That's what it is. His professional career first three. Guy hits it and just is like, yeah, this is what I do.
Yeah.
He was embarrassed.
It's no big deal. Yeah, I guarantee you he went into the locker room, like found a stall somewhere, closed it, locked it, and then just like flipped out. Just completely, like jazz hands and everything. Just went completely bonkers over it. But I want to ask that question today. Where were you? Where were you in this magical moment where Ben Simmons hit a three? That's what I'm going to ask today. Don't you roll your eyes at me, Bob Cooney. Don't you roll
your
eyes.
Where were you when man landed on the moon?
Oh,
where were you when 9/11 happened? Where were you when Ben Simmons hit a three?
Come on, man, Bobby. Nobody, huge. Nobody even landed on the moon, Bob. Don't you read the papers? Come on now.
I wrote the story. I know. What are you talking about?
You interviewed the astronauts.
Exactly, yeah.
But no, when it comes to this particular moment, I just want to know. The magical moment happened. Where were you? We'll all remember where we were. I'll go first. I was sitting on the sofa, my wife and my baby completely passed out, unimpressed with basketball, and I was watching the game, and he hit it, and then I just couldn't stop tweeting my excitement.
Yeah.
That's basically what happened.
I had just gotten Skylar down.
Oh,
she beautiful. Was just feeling a little fussy, a little gassy last night.
Oh, yeah? Was she
much like her dad.
Impatient, waiting for the three?
Yep. And I was watching on DVR, so I was speeding up, and then I finally got to live time in the second quarter, and I couldn't wait, and then I saw the look in his eye. I was laying on my couch, and wow, it was exhilarating.
It was amazing.
Yeah. You know what? It's a good little feeling when you do catch up to the DVR moment.
Yeah,
you feel like you really accomplished
something.
Yeah, exactly. We're back to live. And Trey, you had just gotten home at the time.
Yeah, I was driving down Jackson Road.
Mm-hmm.
You know, with my son in the car.
Was there a nice breeze in the air?
Nice breeze in the air.
No.
You know, had the windows open a little bit
because mm-hmm.
he had just finished practice.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a little twang.
Yeah. So, a little stanky.
Yeah, just a little stank.
Yeah.
So just had to crack the window a little bit
because mm-hmm.
I don't need that building up in my leather. So I'm like, son, you got to air this out a little bit. You know, we're listening. And I'm like, okay, I hope Ben doesn't shoot the three while I'm on the road.
Mm.
And sure enough, they said it. Ben. Makes the three.
There it is. Yeah. And it was rather subdued. I mean, we'll get to it a little bit later in the show.
Mm-hmm.
Tom McGinnis, a rather subdued moment.
We got action here at the center.
No, it wasn't. Not really. It was like, and three is good. It reminded me of
caught him off guard.
He caught him off guard.
I think
everybody in the building knew what was going to happen.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Bob, he was spotting it up. But first off,
yeah.
Bob, where were you? Where were you, Bob?
I was in section 111, row 7, seat 3.
See, look at that.
Something.
This guy was there.
But it was funny.
Bob actually heckled. He's not going to tell you guys this, but he went, should have been doing that 2 years ago, coward!
Oh, wow, a glare.
Don't you ever speak for me.
A glare
don't
from
you
Bob.
Ever
I saw him on TV.
Did you see that on Twitch? Bob's upset.
It was funny because I was watching Joel as they were bringing it. The fans' reaction was great.
Oh, yeah.
The guy shot an air ball. They inbounded with like 11 seconds to go, and everybody, shoot, you got to shoot. And I'm watching Joel Embiid. Obviously, I have my eye on Simmons, but I'm watching Embiid, who's on the other side of the court, and he's like, has his hands out. He's telling him to, you know, push. I couldn't tell if he was telling him to shoot or what the hell are you doing. And then Simmons rises up, and I understand where Brett's coming from. I understand where Simmons is coming from. Like, Brett overdid it by saying, this is overblown. I don't know what the big deal is, basically. But
you don't
Simmons,
know what the big deal is.
I know, right? But Simmons, I got a little sense of embarrassment from him. Like, yeah, all right, third year in the league, I know I should have hit this before, or at least attempted one mm-hmm. really before. So, yeah, good for him. Looked good, went in. Good stuff.
Listen to you.
Good stuff. You know, what are you doing? Are they going to build the whole offense around that now?
Yeah, you know what?
I'm going on a feeling right now.
Yeah, if you listen to Tom, if you listen
my
to Tobias Harris,
aren't excited.
Tobias Harris
I
is like,
in my plums,
he's got a 100% free 3-point percentage now. So I don't want to hear any of that.
Yes, he does.
That hate.
Yeah.
Don't you be casting
hate? No hate.
Mm.
Just not over excitement.
Casting hate is a lot better. I like that one.
Casting
throwing
hate.
Shade. Yeah,
throw shade?
Yeah.
All right. You corrected him, Trey.
So I was legitimately excited. And yes, I am telling you. And here's the thing. The people that just want to hate on a moment like this. And Bob, no, you're not doing that.
No.
I was having fun with on Twitter. Like some responses to my poll question from the moment last night that it happened. I was just like, people, you realize this is fun, right?
Yeah, right.
Sports. You know, sports and stuff. Cool. All right. But I really wanted to see that part of his game just kind of just make a little bit of a debut. And not only did it make a little bit of a debut, it made a big splash, no pun intended, and everybody just loved every second of it. Now, here's the thing. I wasn't there like you were, Bob, and I actually, our own Natalie Agonoff from the Mike Mussella show was down there, and I knew she was down there, and I texted her. I said, are people really saying shoot? Because I was seeing on Twitter people say, you know, saying that the crowd was egging him on.
Shoot the puck!
Like he was on the power play.
Oh, yeah.
And he goes and he finally shoots into the place, goes nuts. But it, well, I couldn't hear it on TV. You could hear some murmurs when he would get the ball. And she's like, oh, yeah, everyone's just yelling shoot. So it was that bad down there, Bob?
Oh, it started when they inbounded the ball to him. It was shoot. It was.
All right, that's annoying.
It was palpable. And then people were standing up. And it was like, so some of the reaction was like, yes, just what we needed, you know, that kind of stuff, like Idiot Jamie over there. I just kind of sit back and laugh at the people that are doing that. Like, oh, that's cool. Good moment. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not going to change much of anything. I don't think he's all of a sudden a confident 3-point shooter.
Right.
You know,
baby steps.
That helps. No, you're right.
When your first one is as clean as that one was, I mean,
His elbow was in.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
Yeah, Daily News has a great picture of it today. His release looks like perfect.
That was going to be teaching shooting camps. Herb Magee can retire. Ben Simmons has got you.
That's one thing. If you break it off the backboard and it goes in,
then he's not attempting another one for a while.
Yeah, you know, that one right there was like, okay, I got this.
So somebody tweeted me last night. It was the greatest preseason moment.
Yeah, you lost me there.
No. Stay with me. It's the greatest, because this actually raised my eyebrows a little bit here. The greatest preseason moment since Donovan to T.O.
I was just going to say, since T.O., I had to go.
Since Donovan to T.O., and I'm sure Trey held a block, but I'm just telling you right now.
Damn straight.
since Donovan to T.O., greatest preseason moment in Philadelphia sports history.
I agree.
And I was like, if you have those rankings, like if I think I'm a dork, like good God, man, like you, like examine your life a little bit here. So that was obviously we'll have some fun with this all today. I want to know where you were when the moment happened. Where you were when Ben Simmons hit his first professional 3-point shot, albeit in an exhibition game against the Chinese team.
Yeah, and I couldn't figure out who was on the other teams.
Yang Wei.
Yeah, just a bunch of symbols that I really just couldn't pick up on.
Yeah, that's the language.
Yeah. I'm like, what is this?
Do you have any foreign language tattoos?
Ooh,
are you like one of those people that has like a Chinese or a Japanese
proverb
letter
or something?
It says like love.
No, I don't think so. But there were some really times in my life that some of it may have been forgotten about. I don't know.
All right, so there's some good vibes about Ben Simmons. I want to know where people were when this magical moment happened. And look, in all seriousness, overhype aside and overexcitement aside, I'm very happy that he did it. Okay? That's the only thing. Now it's time to advance that to the next level. And, you know, just have that as a threat. That's it. Just have it as a threat.
Got it out of the way.
There you go.
He got it out of the way. It doesn't have all the pressure. Because once the season gets on, then now everybody's really shoot. You know, so now you get it out of the way in preseason. Now you can just go quick. I'll tell you what, though.
What's that?
He looked a lot quicker.
Oh, his ball handling skills?
Yeah, when he and Joel look quick.
It's funny, you know, like he's doing some things. That guy's sitting behind me, and he's just beating guys off the dribble crazily. And the thing that keeps going through my mind, oh, yeah, well, why do you really need that 12 to 15 footer again? Nobody can stop this guy off the dribble with his quickness, his speed, and his ball handling at his size.
Yeah.
He when he gets that motor going, that is really, really fun to watch. And, yeah, Joe, you could tell Joel really is in shape this year. Mm-hmm. To begin the year, he's very much in shape.
For the first time since maybe his rookie year where I just you just see him out on the court, dribbling a little bit, shooting a little bit, practicing free throws, whatever it might be. Obviously not playing because of the injury. It was the first time since rookie year I looked at him. I was like, damn, he's skinny.
Yeah.
Like, I know he's not skinny in person. He probably didn't look like you. Like, but on TV, I was just looking at it. And I was just like, he looks small.
He looks different.
Compared to what he was last. Maybe it was the hair all throwed out and stuff. Maybe that made him look a little leaner. I don't know. But he was he looked very svelte last night watching him play.
I thought it was interesting. Brett Brown's thing with big men through the years, the last few years, has been catch the ball and make a decision. I've talked about this in 0.5 seconds. Pass, dribble, shoot, whatever it may be. Last night was different with Joel, and I don't think it was because of the other team. He was taking a look. He grabbed the ball he was holding. If it was one-on-one, he was seeing. He was seeing if the double team came to him. He was actually more patient with the ball than Brett has preached in the past. I wonder if this is something like new to this big man game that they're going to play now.
Man, I'm trying to be down there.
Yeah, so there was a lot of neat stuff to see last night.
There really, Matisse Thybul impressed me last night about the rim from the outside defensively. And look, you're just watching a guy's movements, not really how he's playing.
It's going to be sad when he steals Defensive Player of the Year from Joel Embiid. And Cove.
Okay, is that the bigger overreaction than Ben? Because I had a similar feeling like, damn, this guy can shut down.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, he's playing.
No, he's going to be a real asset, man. He's going to be able to guard 1-4, I think.
By the way, we spent all this time pronouncing Guangzhou.
Yeah.
All right. Is it Long Lions or Loom Lions?
Yeah, it's two O's, right?
Yeah, there's two O's.
I thought there was three O's.
Well, there's one in the Lions.
Yeah, exactly. So we spent all this time. We've been messing that up the whole time. So anyway, bottom line is, it was a good game to watch. It was a fun game to watch. It was just good to see the Sixers get their feet wet a little bit here with an exhibition game against a team they're not even going to be playing. So, all right, that's basically what it is. Nice to see the little step in expanding Ben Simmons' game, something we were all talking about throughout the offseason. And it was good to see it actually happen on an NBA court. There, it happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's my issue with the Eagles.
Wow.
And it's not so much even just the Eagles themselves, but how you're feeling going into this game. Because yesterday we asked the question, and the overwhelming majority was that the people that answered the question was that over the next three games, when the Eagles have this three-game road trip kind of thing going on here, the Eagles will go 2-1. That's how most people viewed it.
69% yesterday.
69% on the dot said that.
Nice.
So then you have a situation like just this week. Game just this week. Let's get one game at a time, 1 week at a time. Trey, I don't know if you ever heard that in your career.
Yeah.
Just one game at a time.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to know people's confidence level on this Wednesday going into this game Sunday against the Vikings. What is their confidence level right now? So we threw that out as our Twitter poll. We'll let you know what the early results are right now. But I just took a peek, and there's three options. And the middle one, as you might assume, is moderate. It's high, moderate, and low. And as of right now, the overwhelming majority are at moderate. And that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Yeah.
Because the Eagles have a huge test in front of them when it comes to the run game. And Bob, you've been banging the drum for Dalvin Cook, making sure no one's ignoring what that running back can do. The Eagles have been phenomenal against the run this year. But when it comes to this particular running back, he's the best one they're going to face until they face Ezekiel Elliott, probably, in the following week.
Yeah.
So if you want to talk about one of the strongest assets of this Eagles team as a whole, it's their run defense. Now that run defense will be put to the test going up against Dalvin Cook and then Ezekiel Elliott. And then the next thing that's going to be tested is also going to be in this game, which is a passing offense that has had its struggles this year. And you can point to wide receivers, and we brought up the drops yesterday, but you also look at the two tight ends that people seem to quickly forget about. Is your tight ends need to step up for you as well? And I think that you certainly have a Pro Bowl caliber guy in Zach Ertz. You certainly have a Pro Bowl caliber guy in Alshon Jeffrey. And I think Dallas Goedert has that kind of talent, just doesn't have the resume yet to kind of prove it. When it comes to Nelson Agholor, he's heady again. It comes to a guy like J.J. Arcega-Whiteside, Matt Collins, more of the inexperienced guys. You're barely seeing anything from these guys. So the bigger struggle for me after the run defense, and in terms of them stepping up and proving themselves and proving how good they can really be this season, after that, it comes to the passing game. I don't have that many concerns about Carson Wentz putting the ball where it needs to be, but I got concerns about the wide receivers helping him out. I mean, I got confidence in Zach Ertz. I got confidence in Dallas Goedert. But I look at Alshon Jeffrey after that. I'm thinking, all right, well, if this really does turn into a shootout against the Vikings, when you got guys like Diggs and you got guys like Thielen, you need to make sure that you are on point in the passing game. Offensive line, Trey, I'm confident we'll bounce back. After having some struggles, after not having that cohesion again, I'm confident they'll bounce back. But as of right now, the two things I'm concerned about most is just the run defense proving themselves again, because this is another one of those types of prove-it games, and the passing game being able to find new heights, I guess. Those are the two things I'm focusing on right now on this Wednesday going into this kickoff on Sunday.
Minnesota's a good defense.
Yeah.
Really good defense. They let up the fifth least points in the league. You know, they're just solid everywhere. You make a great point, Mark. Somebody's going to have to make a play.
Yeah.
And this offense, save Miles Sanders. Who's your big play guy? I mean, Dallas Goedert, maybe. I mean, he's a guy that can break tackles. Your other tight end doesn't really break tackles. You know, Alshon Jeffrey's your possession guy. Who's a playmaker?
Yeah, no, I don't know.
You know, and it's not an offense that leads to guys making play. You're not hitting guys on the run in your passing game. Mm-hmm. It's guys that are catching, you know, sitting, catching, and getting tackled. you know, you're going to need some plays for some guys. I just don't know who it is when you don't have a DeSean Jackson there.
Well, that's one of the things that I was so impressed with the Miles Sanders play out of the backfield and that wheel route, was that Carson Wentz hit him in stride. He could get you another 26 yards almost after the catch. So that's what was impressed me so much, is that he did it in stride, because you don't see that a lot in this offense. Mm-hmm. The other thing is, Alshon Jeffrey, Trey, I want to see him go down the field a little bit. That seemed to be there with Nick Foles. It's certainly not there with Carson Wentz. Having that time, I don't know, but whether it's time, whether it's just not confidence in throwing the ball up to Alshon. I mean, Carson said a couple of weeks ago he's got to realize that Alshon Jeffrey's always open. Mm-hmm. If it's a throw-up situation and he can just get it up to him, Alshon will come down with it. And you saw him kind of kicking himself a little bit after that Green Bay throw. Remember that throw that was down the sideline to Alshon? Mm-hmm. I mean, it wasn't leading him by any means, but Alshon tried to go up and get it, got interfered with, unfortunately. But Carson said, I just got to leave that ball up higher for you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I want. Those are things I'm looking for when it comes to Sunday, Trey.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a challenge. This is going to be a big challenge again. You know, like Bob was saying, I mean, they're a top 10 defense in both categories. I mean, 6 in passing, 9 in rushing, you know, so... This is going to be it, you know, especially with not having DeSean Jackson in with you. You know, who's going to be your guy? Like you said, the playmaker. Who's your playmaker? Who's the guy that's going to stretch this defense to spread them out a little bit? And then I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, it's why the Eagles are so good in the red zone and why they're so good on third down. Because if you think about it, they have great sit and catch receivers. Mm. Zach Ertz will get to a spot, turn, boom, ball's there, or he's going touchdown, first down, whatever it may be. Alshon Jeffrey, same thing, 50-50 ball, he'll get it. That's why they're so good in those areas, but when it comes to making big plays, I don't know. I mean, you had nice wheel route to Sanders the other day. Sanders is obviously your big play guy, but after that, it's just going to have to be a methodical offense, 12, 10, you know, 15 yards down the field.
All right. Now, the other thing that surrounds the Eagles is this story out of Miami, is it?
Odell, a guy named Dan Cilio. He's a former Canes player.
Yeah.
Was on the line with Jerome Brown. I think had some cups of coffee in the NFL. Mm-hmm. Does a
CFL thing too, I think.
Yeah, CFL, AFL, he did. You know, he did the football rounds. He's clearly a jabroni. He works in sports radio. What an idiot.
I believe 10,000 followers.
Yes, he is verified.
He's verified.
And he brought Jerome Brown into it, which I think is very weird.
Twice.
Like, if you don't know me, I did play with Jerome Brown.
And I love Philly, so I wouldn't make this up.
And I played with Jerome Brown.
Now, here's the deal.
Like, do it for Jerome.
That's
basically all he left out of the tweet.
Is there any more obvious way to be a name dropper than to do it on Twitter? Because it's right there in print.
Yeah,
right? And, like, there's no inflection. Like, sometimes you could be like, yeah, so I was hanging out with Trey Thomas. I mean, no big deal, but Trey was there.
@TreyThomas72 on Twitter.
Right, yeah. Like, it's an odd thing. So, is he doing that to give us credibility in the Philadelphia area?
Yeah, because nobody knows who he is.
Okay.
Right.
So what this fella's doing is saying that Odell Beckham Jr. is being made available and that the Eagles had interest? Have interest?
Have. Made, a phone made call. Calls.
Have interest. Made calls to go get
one of,
Odell
I think he said, a few teams.
Yeah.
Like two or three, he meant, not like six or seven.
You wouldn't go get Odell Beckham Jr.? If you could.
What team wouldn't make a call? That's more shocking to me. Not that the Eagles made a call. Like, what the hell's wrong with these other teams that they didn't make a call?
Yeah. I'm torn, Trey.
What are you torn over?
Yeah, I'm with Jamie.
Everything that follows him?
Yeah.
And skill-wise, between the lines, it's a 100% no-brainer.
Uh-huh.
Everything else is a question mark.
Okay.
Yeah, a lot of question marks.
Yes. He's a Looney Tune.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm fine with this.
Me too.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I'm okay with it.
Like, even it. Okay, here's
most
the
deal. Most of us are.
He's a nutbag.
Okay, Eli Manning.
So the first time he doesn't get the ball, he's going to go on ESPN with Jamel Hill and Little Wayne and throw Carson Wentz under the bus?
Uh-huh.
Sitting in one Liberty Square?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
Cool.
Our city will look beautiful. Everyone will marvel at the backdrop. And look,
I mean, it would get wheezy here, right?
Yeah, sure, fine. I'm just going to wheezy. It's going to be wild, but... Like, I think he would enjoy having Carson Wentz chuck him the football more so than Baker Mayfield.
Wearing $2.5 million watches out on the field?
You know what? I hope I'll buy him one. I don't care. Can I borrow some money? But I don't care what he wears. I just want to see him out there on the football field in the Eagles jersey.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
But here's the craziness doesn't factor in even a little bit for me.
You did Antonio Brown saga, right?
Yeah, it was
something. Okay. That's got to be fresh on your mind.
No, the Antonio Brown thing took quite take the left turn. Like, that was, that went from a crazy wide receiver to, oh, wow, this guy might have raped some people. Like, that's got to
well,
be a guy.
Yes.
That's not a guy.
Yeah, but even,
be- go a little left
even before that serious stuff, uh-huh. like just the distraction,
yes.
the off-the-field stuff, uh-huh. cursing out his GM, uh-huh. burning his feet.
Calling his GM like a racial slur?
Yeah.
I get that.
All that.
When has Odell done that?
He hasn't. He's just...
There's
always a circus that follows him.
Fine! There was a huge circus behind Terrell Owens. We went to a Super Bowl. Trey, you were there.
Yeah,
like,
there.
I just... I can't... I,
and then
I
how'd that end?
Heartbeat. What's that?
And then how did it end?
Well, you know, somebody should have put his arm around somebody else. So, yeah. They would have been like, hey, bro, we're cool, right? Yeah, we're cool.
Yeah.
Just pay my
You're
man.
The best wide receiver I've ever had.
Pay
I love you.
Pay this man his money, basically, is what should have happened in that scenario.
I mean, I think... I don't think I'm alone that people are going to have some slight hesitation.
All right. You know what? Here we're...
No, you're not alone. At all.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
I'm on Jamie's side here. Oh, God. Sold my soul to the devil.
By the way, you know, I talked to Pat Egan. He feels the same way.
Yeah, you're just trying to kill me, aren't you? Slow death I'm doing today.
Real quick, Sam, we're here's what we're going to do, because this has become a hot-button issue. We're completely split on this show. What is? Just give me the Twitter poll as it is right now, the early goings here.
This morning we asked, what's your confidence level that the Eagles beat the Vikings this Sunday? High, moderate, or low? We have just over 400 votes. 57% say moderate.
57% say yes. Moderate. All right, how many people say loss or they're going to lose or whatever?
The low is only 10%.
Only 10%? Holy.
So that's 41.4.
All right, so we're throwing that out today. Here's what we're going to do. Do you want Odell Beckham Jr.? Put it this way. Would you want to trade for Odell Beckham Jr.? I would word it like that. And then see how many people would do it, see how many people want it. Just straight up.
What's your guess?
I'm going to say it's 70% yes.
Oh, okay. I was saying like 75 in my mind.
Okay. Oh, look at you. You're brilliant.
Yeah.
All right. So now that we're split, we're a divided nation here. We're split on whether or not Odell Beckham Jr. would be a good idea here. I have no hesitation. Pull the trigger. Do it. Done. All right. We'll see how the people feel on the Twitter poll.
Doesn't give you any concern that they may be willing to move on from him after 5 games?
Yeah, nope.
Okay.
I think they realize they got bigger problems again.
Maybe.
In Cleveland. That's what I think they realize.
Starts with the quarterback.
Yeah, give me all the picks you can, and we'll move on from there. 610-632-0975. And Sam, who brings us that fine Twitter poll, by the way?
It's brought to you by Window Nation. Take advantage of Window Nation's 50% off sale on all style windows, plus make no down payment with no payments and no interest for 12 full months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
All right, it's up and it's out. Thank you very much. It's out there on the social media at 97.5 Morning. 610-632-0975, 610-632-0975. Where were you when Ben Simmons hit the three? Also, we'll weigh in on Odell Beckham Jr., as well as one more thing that popped up yesterday, and it was a name that I hate when it comes to the managerial candidacy of the Philadelphia Phillies. Time of the Fanatic is 6:24.
Farzetta and Trey in the Morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
6 o'clock hour brought to you by United Rentals and HVAC for all your power generation and HVAC rentals in the tri-state area. Visit UnitedRentals.com. All right, so the name that's cropped up again for the Phillies managerial position, if there is an opening.
This hurts coming out of your mouth.
It really does. For a couple of reasons.
And I'm with you.
I'm disgusted because we've been waiting for so long. And several other teams have fired their managers and they've moved on and bigger and better things. Meanwhile, they've made an adjustment on their their coaching staff when it comes to a pitching coach firing Chris Young.
Good old
CY.
Yeah.
And their manager is still here. It seems weird to me that they would fire fire the boss man.
Would you be more ticked off if other teams were actually hiring managers that fired managers?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So that's the one solace that you have is that, okay, but nobody's moved on yet.
Right. That's why there's not an outline of my body through the window over here. That's the only reason.
That's next.
Yeah. That's the next step.
As soon as Joe Maddon signs with the Anaheim Angels and Joe Girardi goes to the Mets and the Phillies are still pondering what to do.
Yeah. Especially if you believe the report from Bob Nightingale, which is that the Angels are going to interview Joe Maddon, who's supposed to get the job, and then they're going to interview three more people, no matter what happens with Joe Maddon.
Yeah.
Like, it's just weird to me. But the name that's cropped up again to fill a soon-to-be, maybe, vacant managerial position for the Phillies is Buck Showalter, who I have identified many times before as the Jeff Fisher of baseball managers.
But Mark, he got a team with not that much talent to 92 wins once.
Okay, he went to from probably the most impressive thing in his entire career. By the way, 20 years as a manager, he got the Orioles to go from like 63 wins to 92 wins.
But he can turn a team around quickly, and that's what the Phillies need,
and
Mark.
Then they fizzle. Well, you're doing this impression so well, I want to punch you. Like, that's how good you are at these like stupid Buck Showalter supporting points.
Yeah, because
like,
I saw some of them yesterday.
Yeah, God, stop it. Now here's where I'm between a rock and a hard place. I want a veteran manager in here. He of just all the veteran managers that are out there, he's like my fifth choice.
Yeah, he's not even on my list.
But the only reason he's on there is because I know they're interested, so I'm like, well...
But Andy McPhail knows him better than anyone, Mark.
Yeah, okay, all right, so he hired him in Baltimore, all right, and that's when they had the turnaround. And he, throughout his entire career as a big league skipper, all right, he has been okay in every position he's been in. Okay in every single position. Do we want to go for okay, or do we want to go with somebody who's actually, I don't know, won a World Series, maybe? That's a nice little thing to have on the resume. Buck Showalter, and 20 years as a big league manager, 390-plus win seasons. Three! And 90's not even like the, oh my God, wow, he won 90 games. That's amazing.
He went 47 and 115 in his last year managing. 47 and 115. Not saying he had much down there in Baltimore,
see, that's
but
the thing.
In
2018. I don't even want to bring up a 40-win season because obviously you have so much to look at when you come to the rest of that. God, that awful franchise that it's become in Baltimore. And Bob, you know this trade. I mentioned this before. My mom's from down there. I got a little special little like I got a special little studio apartment in my heart for the Orioles. All right, I got a little soft spot for the Orioles.
Too.
Yeah, I got family down there. Whatever. My grandfather was an usher for the team. Like, I don't even want to bring that up because then I'll start becoming a Baltimore fan even more so. And I don't want to. I like it having its own little studio apartment in my heart.
But Mark, you love Buck Showalter.
What the hell is that an argument?
Yeah.
Is that what people... Is that trying to...
Yeah, you're an Orioles fan. You love Buck Showalter.
Is that people trying to convince themselves that they love Buck Showalter? Because I haven't heard that argument yet. No, it's not that I don't... it's not that I hate the guy. It's just that I don't want him to be my manager. And honestly, for between him and Gabe Kapler, it's... there's no overwhelming, like, yes, definitely. Like, I'd rather have Mike Socia than Buck Showalter. I'd rather have Dusty Baker than Buck Showalter. I'd rather have Joe Girardi. I'd rather have Joe Maddon, all the obvious names. I'd rather have those guys. And you mean to tell me if you're going to be an A-class organization that is just going to throw wads of money in people's face, you can't get one of those guys? You got to go to Buck Showalter?
Well, you better be ready. I'm really leaning towards this. After talking to Jason Stark and then Scott Lauber, who we had on yesterday, if they want a guy that they can control, which is a big thing here, and Scott said it yesterday, like, yeah, could be a way. They want to have their hands on what's going on here, much like they do or slash did with Gabe. Then you're not going to get a big, big name here. Buck Showalter isn't going to listen to Klentak and say, oh, I'm sorry, who do you want playing center tonight? No problem, you got it. No, Joe Girardi's not going to do that. Joe Maddon's not going to do that. If they want to stay in the position where they were, where they have their thumbprint on lineups and maybe even, you know, who's playing where, they're not going to get a big name. You're probably talking a Raul Ibanez, someone managing for the first time. I'm really starting to lean that way if they don't keep Gabe.
Yeah.
I'm leaning more towards their keeping Gabe, but if they don't, I think it's going to be a way lesser name.
Yeah. I am, if I have to choose between Buck Showalter and Gabe Kapler, it's like 51% Buck Showalter.
Oh, really?
Gabe. Yeah. Because he is at least a guy who's been in baseball. It would be that partnership that I would want the Phillies to have with their front office, from the clubhouse to the front office. It wouldn't necessarily be, hey, Gabe, here's your lineup tonight, that type of thing. Mm. And that's what I think more or less is what happens right now. Mike and Del Ran, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, brother?
Ben Simmons is a sharpshooter!
There you go.
I was in a poker league on Tuesday nights. There was like 20-some guys, and they were watching.
He's like the ultimate. Mike, you are the ultimate man.
Yes, you are.
I mean, you're in poker leagues. You're doing shots at the Eagles game.
Incredible
you're
man
everywhere.
Cave.
Yeah.
YOLO, Bob. YOLO.
That's right. Don't forget that.
So, you know, you got all these guys in there. They're watching playoff baseball. But my buddy says, oh, Ben Simmons just hit a buzzer beater three-pointer. And you would have thought every single angle question came out. Well, where was it? How much time was it left? Was it a shot clock violation or was it the end of the quarter?
Right.
Was it a heave? Did he jump? Did he spot up? I still haven't seen it, but it's just funny how, like, it just took over the entire conversation.
It's all over Twitter. I have it on my feed, as does just about everybody else. You got to enjoy, man. Go ahead and enjoy it. It was a beautiful shot.
All right. I'm so excited. He's going to lead the league in threes now. Odell Beckham, thanks, but no thanks. Can I remind everybody that we're two Nelson Aguilar drop passes from being 5-0? For 4 weeks, we heard about how we needed to get a pass rusher in a corner.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, the defense plays a great game against probably was the worst offense in the NFL. And the offense has a mediocre, bad, slow day. And it's, oh, my God, we need Odell Beckham. Or, oh, my God, we need Stephon Diggs. Or if we make a trade before the trade deadline, and it's not for a guy like Jalen Ramsey or Chris Harris or a corner or someone on defense that's going to be able to help that secondary when we play these next seven games of tough teams, I'm going to throw up in my mouth.
I don't blame you.
Let DeSean Jackson get healthy. Let Carson Wentz, who's coming back from two season-ending injuries, you know, do his thing. It was one game, everybody. Calm down. We don't need Odell Beckham. The Browns were winning the Super Bowl on paper, and they're crumbling.
So you wouldn't – why? What is so bad about Odell Beckham Jr.?
It's not what's bad about Odell Beckham. It's what you're going to have to give up to get him. You could have gotten Jadeveon Clowney, Minka Fitzpatrick, maybe Jalen Ramsey. Just stop.
The ship has sailed, though, Mike.
I understand that, but why piss? Why waste it away? Why just throw away picks for a guy that I don't think we need? I mean, yeah, great. All right, you always take a Pro Bowl player. Fine.
Yeah.
Whatever. But I'm not mortgaging. I'm not doing that just for the first bad stretch of a few bad games, like you said, for him to start going on TV and complaining about Carson Wentz. I don't need it. Yeah. Carson Wentz don't need it. The offense don't need it. Yes!
Thank you very much. I was waiting for it. I was like, is he going to get lost in his own rant? Because I was just about to say, Mike, go Birds. But I'd do it in a heartbeat. I mean, first, I want to hear what the offer would be.
Well, yeah, yeah.
But there's a report out there that is linking Odell Beckham Jr. to the Eagles. And, Bob, I think you addressed it well. Who shouldn't be interested in Odell Beckham Jr.? Yeah. Like, who dare say, nah, we're good.
Yeah.
At least you're hearing the offer.
If I had to choose the two, either Ramsey and Odell, I'd much rather take Ramsey, though.
You much rather
That's a great, great question. Who would you rather? Wait, I'm on Trey's side.
Yeah, third poll.
Sam, get rid of this one. No,
really, it's just because of Nacho Libre, isn't it?
Yes.
That's what I thought.
Because he's Ramsey's.
But that's what I thought. I saw right through that.
No, but you're going to need help on defense, though.
You absolutely
You need
are.
That secondary help.
Yeah.
Now, you have your corner out of Douglas that's out over there balling, but you're going to need somebody else over there. And I think Ramsey definitely brings that, you know, extra punch that you need.
Punch
in the face.
I still got to watch this. But maybe this weekend if I'm not doing it.
Did you catch PCU yesterday, Trey?
No, I tried to find it.
Oh, it's not easy to find?
No.
That's a shame.
Since it was back in 1994, it's not like you could just pull movies up like that.
Topical movies only on this show. All right, now coming back, here's what we're going to do for you. We're going to compare and contrast the Ben Simmons calls. We have the call from right here, 97.5 The Fanatic, great Tom McGinnis. And then we have the call with Serena Winters and Ala Abdelnaby of the NBC Sports Philadelphia broadcast as well. We'll compare and contrast. And we'll also take a listen to the crowd and then the reaction from the head coach and a teammate of Ben Simmons as well. We'll get to that in a few here on 97.5, The Fanatic.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Forgot to tell you guys this yesterday. The best man speech that happened.
That revealed that your cousin is a freak?
Allegedly.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know if
a sex freak. Not just a freak, Trey. A sex freak. Sex freak,
I think,
Mark.
I think most people get it.
Okay.
It seems a little sex. Unnecessary, Bob. There. I think people got it.
Yeah. The subject even popped up on the afternoon show yesterday.
Oh, it did?
Oh, yes, it did.
What?
Really?
Yeah. Uh-huh. What was the discussion?
Your sex freak cousin. Yeah. That was the discussion.
Who interjected? Yeah. A caller?
You know, saying it's sex freak, I got to be honest, a little weird.
It's,
yeah.
It's one of your good friends.
It makes me want to be celibate.
It's one of your good friends. Yeah.
Natalie?
Celeste, will happen, but yeah. Yes, Natalie.
Natalie brought up the conversation.
Yes, freaky cousin came out of her
I
mouth.
Did tell her that when I saw her on NBC on Sunday. I told her the same story.
Yeah, maybe she listens to the show, too, and she heard us yesterday.
Probably exactly what happened.
Probably.
So I told the story yesterday. I told her around 7:23 is when we came back from that break, and I told it. But basically what happened was there was a... best man speech at my cousin's wedding. The best man also was the brother-in-law of the groom, so he married the groom's sister, and but also my cousin. And he revealed in the speech, he said, allegedly, he did say in the speech, that his wife was a freak in the bed. So he basically told the groom, in front of the entire family, that his sister, also my cousin, was a freak in the sack, actually was the word that he used.
What's your cousin's name?
Hank. So the thing here is... I forgot that after this guy got done his awful 12-minute worst best man speech I ever heard, a couple of people smattering of applause. And by the way, nobody raised their glass, in case I mentioned that. Yeah, did I mention that? Raised our glasses, and no glasses went up. So after he got done his horrible 12-minute speech, my one cousin Greg, who was sitting at my table, whose mom was yelling at the best man to sit down and somebody take the microphone.
Shut your mouth!
My cousin Greg goes... Encore! I was talking to my other cousins yesterday because some of them heard me talking about it. And they're like, hey, you forgot about Greg's line. I was like, what did Greg... Oh, yeah! I want more, basically. So here's the report coming out of, what is this, Miami?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Dan Cilio Sports,
at Dan Cilio Show. Apparently some people were coming at him for putting out a false report about this Odell Beckham Jr. being available.
See, I don't know if it's a false report, because you could almost say that about any player in the league at any given time.
Sure.
That calls were made.
Yeah.
So, like...
But people immediately
the fact that he's available is the part that is a little non-believable.
Right. Like, I remember a couple of years ago, I don't break stories, right? That's not the route I go. And if you look at a lot of local outlets, they leave that up to the Adam Schefters of the world.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But we'll have it like 8 o'clock.
Yeah, I wonder if Adam laughs this one off.
So that's what we're going to discuss.
Yeah.
But again, it's a light one of made calls. So I had a story from an incredible source that Florida was interested in Chip Kelly. And I believe this was going into the second year of Chip Kelly's time here in Philadelphia. No, this was it was in the second season. Yeah. And it was like, is it really that hard to believe that a college would have...
Of course they would be interested.
Of course. Like, yes. That they're going to reach out and kick the tires? Like, why not?
Absolutely.
And when Howie Roseman was asked about it point blank, he was like, all I'll tell you is nothing will distract our coach. So, like, it's not that hard to believe. So making calls, not that hard to believe. So I believe this guy got something. He heard something from somebody or people and put it out there. So his tweet that I saw was one that was rather defensive, as if people were saying, don't say this about Odell Beckham and the Eagles and whatever. So he comes out last night and says, Eagles fans, I don't spread rumors, especially to a team that my boy, Canes Football, and my running back mate, and my running mate, Jerome Brown, played for.
Okay.
Mm.
So he doesn't want to, I can't say cast hate because it's not casting hate.
No.
He doesn't want to introduce a small amount of shade. How's that? He doesn't want to do that to the Eagles,
yeah,
a team that his buddy Jerome Brown played for. Eagles have called on the availability of Odell Beckham Jr., so you Eagles fans don't ever disrespect Jerome Brown and my love for Philly.
Oh, yeah, that whole stuff is weird.
It is extremely weird.
Disrespecting Jerome Brown?
I don't know.
Okay.
Is a slap in the face or making fun of Canes Football? Hurricanes Football in Miami? Is that a slap in the face of Jerome Brown? Is that what he's saying?
I don't.
But nonetheless, who cares? What he's saying is the Eagles called about Odell Beckham Jr.
Okay.
Is that hard to believe?
No, not at all.
And you're telling me, Trey, that you would rather have Jalen Ramsey than Odell?
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.